Hello, this is Pastor Robert. Welcome to Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad that you've joined us again right here on WMAF. This is a family-friendly radio station. We're praying that God will increase the listening audience, not only in North Florida, but around the world, as WMAF is broadcast over the World Wide Web. If you're hearing this broadcast in another state or another country, we welcome you today. And if you live in Madison or the surrounding area, we're so glad that you have made us a part of your listening day. If you want to know more about this ministry, please visit our website. Just type in THCOG on your search engine. We originate in Tampa, Florida, and we've been in pastoral ministry in Tampa for 33, going on 34 years. So we've at the same organization here, the Holy Church of God Incorporated. We are part, an affiliate of the Independent Assemblies of God worldwide, and we are so happy to be with you today and to bring you a message of hope from God's holy word. If you read the newspaper, you listen to the television, the radio, You know the times that we're living in. We're living in very prophetically significant times. And one of these days we will do some broadcast under the heading of where we are in relation to Bible prophecy. And it's not because that I am a prophecy teacher per se in terms of just doing that alone. I'm a pastor. I teach the whole book, but it's impossible not to look around and see what's happening in our world today and not relate it to Bible prophecy. You don't have to be just a student and scholar of prophecy exclusively to understand that we are living in the last days. But God has a wonderful message of hope to people living in a turbulent, troubled world. And it's time right now to let's talk about Jesus. Amen. We're studying the wonderful willingness of our Lord to save, deliver, and help those who call upon Him in simple faith. And we're studying under the heading, Jesus, the Helper of the Helpless. Someone has said that faith is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold on His willingness. And the more I walk with the Lord and the more I read and study the Scriptures, the more I find that we are serving a God that is so willing to help His people. And people who call upon Him that have never known Him, there's a God in heaven that loves you and wants to save you, forgive your sin, so that He can be a help to you, not only in this life, but secure you for the world to come. If you are going through great struggles and great problems today, it is my great privilege to proclaim Him to you. I went through many years, actually, of nervous exhaustion, and I was able, by the grace of God, to continue to preach. I never missed a Sunday, but it was very, very difficult through that time of healing. The Lord took me through a process of healing because I was a broken man. And if God wasn't the helper of the helpless, there is no way I could have come through that dark valley. If God was not so willing to show grace and mercy to me, I wouldn't be here today talking about Him. I'm not one who has, climbed a great mountain and stood on the mountain peak of by my faith and now saying, hey, look at me, I'm king of the mountain. I'm a man who would have never come out of the deep, deep pit I was in, except it was for God's wonderful grace. And I'm not going into a lot of my personal testimony today except to tell you this, that if it was not for the Lord and His mercy, His grace, and His willingness to help someone who, because of what I was going through, I felt so helpless to help myself. And I found out the power of simple faith. Hallelujah. So if you think your faith is small today and your problems are so very big that God won't listen unless you become much, much stronger in faith, I want to strengthen your faith today in the faith that you have. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And you know what he said that in answer to? They said, Lord, increase our faith. And this is what would really increase it, is knowing the power of the faith you have. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the midst of the sea. And if you doubt not in your heart that what you say shall come to pass, that means that your prayer will be answered, then it will obey you. You will see that come to pass. It's incredible. Once we pray, we can begin to speak to our mountains by faith that God has heard our prayer. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you about that willingness today out of Psalm 3 once again as our foundational scripture for this great subject. And if you have your Bibles, just open it to Psalm 3 and let's read it together. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are them that say, that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, a respected commentary of Scripture, said, David, in great distress, with filial confidence, implores God's aid, anticipating relief, offers praise. David had an enemy without, as we said last week, but David was no stranger to facing overwhelming giants and armies. This was no Philistine giant or mighty army. This was his own son, and the army that followed him was David's own countrymen. David now had a great threat to become heartbroken and discouraged and fall into despair. And it's crucial to victory that we understand, in order to defeat the enemy without, we need to defeat the enemy of discouragement, the enemy of despair within. David looks to God as the lifter of his head, or as one commentary reads, lifts me from despondency. Hallelujah. Amen. From dejection, from hopelessness. Once again, we're going to the first verse here. In this great psalm, David's enemies taunted him. Verse 2 said, many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Amen. One translation reads, God will not rescue you. The enemy will scream that at you when you go to pray, because you don't always feel the closeness of God when you're in an emotional state. Some of the hardest seasons of prayer that I've had in terms of just sensing that God is really, really compassionately listening and desiring to help me was when I was going through nervous exhaustion. You've heard the term maybe that heaven seemed brass. In other words, it seemed like heaven was closed up and God was somehow so distant from my circumstance and situation. It was almost painful to listen to people talking about how close they felt to God or that they how they experienced God's presence. It seems that I was isolated from the very one and the very thing that I needed most in my life. And I was a preacher of the gospel, and I've experienced the power and presence of God as I ministered, and I saw God touch other people. But now it was me in this deep place of darkness in my life, and my emotional state seemed to absolutely lock out any sense of God's presence. And that's where I went back to the Scripture, and I would go to the Psalms usually as the starting place in Scripture, because I found people in the Psalms, and David in particular, that felt these feelings and yet kept their faith in the Lord. I could hear read where David said, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he will yet be the health of thy countenance. He'll yet be the one who lifts my head and puts a smile back on my face. Praise God. He talked to himself about his own feelings in relation to his faith. And that let me know something, that you can have feelings and that are so contrary to your faith and still have faith if you choose to use it and choose to exercise it. David talked about his humanity as in relation to his faith. And he said, when my heart, and he's praying, this is a prayer to God. And he says, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord has been a refuge for me. Praise God. I am so glad that I can talk to God about my true feelings, that I don't have to be dishonest or insincere in my approach to Him. He knows my heart, and He knows when I doubt, and He knows when I fear, and He knows when my faith is wavering. And this is what I've discovered. In any of those conditions I've mentioned, He is listening for me to cry unto Him. I want you to know that a simple prayer from a sincere heart will always be responded to by a willing God. Hallelujah. I love Him so much for being who He is. The longer I walk with Him, the longer I talk with Him, the longer I preach, the longer I study the Word, the more I appreciate this great Savior that I declare unto you today. There's a lot of people that will tell you in your circumstance that your God has abandoned you, that He will not help you, and the enemy of your soul, Satan, will be the first in line to attack you. And that's when David responded from his faith in verse 3. And he said, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. David is not exercising the power of positive thinking, even though he is certainly thinking positive when he relies on the Lord. David is not into self-help or psychology or pop psychology. David is looking to his God for deliverance, plain and simple. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, protecting me from the enemy without, the lifter of my head, delivering me from the enemy within. Psalm 11, verse 1 says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye unto my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? I like one modern paraphrase of Psalm 11, 1. It says, I've already run for dear life straight into the arms of God. So why would I want to run away now when you say run to the mountains? You know, the Bible said in another psalm of David, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Running to God when threatened is not running from the devil. God is our shield. He's our power and faithfulness. Even when we are weak and helpless, He loves us. He will not abandon us. So running to Him is not running from the enemy. It is going to a place of safety whereby the enemy cannot harm us. Not because we fear the enemy, but because we know without God we're no match for him. So we stand strong in the Lord. That's the New Testament concept of the spiritual armor from which we fight to victory. It is that we are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We can't read this psalm without being reminded of the great hymn by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Just going to read the first two verses, and now I'm going to read three verses. Hallelujah. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We are not the right man. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Don't ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth is His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled would threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Martin Luther didn't clarify that one little word, but I believe that one little word is a name, and that name is none other than Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. David prays to the Lord in faith. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. David committed himself to God's care and found rest for his soul. Verse 4 said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. David became bold and confident. In verse 5, he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about me. David declared the absolute faithfulness of God in verse 7. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. This God, with such awesome power and supreme authority, has committed himself to his people in covenant love. Praise God. We serve a God, folks, that loves us today. We serve a God that is willing to help us. He's willing to save. When the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, amen, after that mighty outpouring, there's a verse of Scripture that says that it shall come to pass, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to declare to you today that the simple prayer of dependence on the Lord will bring a response from him because of the willingness in his wonderful, wonderful heart of love to help the people that are the object of his love. You may have sinned and come short of his glory, as we all have, and you may feel the guilt of that sin, and you may feel so unworthy of him loving and helping you that you dare not cry out to him, because you know in your heart, or at least you feel in your heart, that he will not listen to you. And I know that he doesn't listen to those that continue to walk in rebellion. But falling to your knees in humble dependency, confessing your sin and asking him to forgive you and help you, that's not a rebellious attitude. That's what God is looking for, is that open door into your life so that he might be able to do for you what he's done for me. Do for you what he's done for countless thousands of others. Do for you what he did for David of old and the apostles in the New Testament, to forgive your sin, to save your soul, and to help you in the day of trouble. Even the Holy Spirit, when he was given, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. The Greek word there is orphanos, which means I won't abandon you. You will always have someone who cares for you parentally, who takes a particular interest in your life and a responsibility for it. And we can address the Creator of the universe as our Heavenly Father. That's how Jesus taught us to begin our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. What a privilege, what an awesome, awesome, powerful position we have to bring our needs before the Lord today. I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know how you feel about the faith in your heart. If you feel your faith is not up to the task, that your faith is so small that it just wouldn't address what you're facing, I want you to take the faith you have and not address your problem, but address your Heavenly Father today. Amen. He will listen to the faintest cry of his children because he loves us. Praise God. Amen. And he taught us, if there's anything Jesus taught us, he taught us about the willingness of God to respond to those that cry unto him with a sincere heart, with a simple faith. I want to say that again. Those that cry unto him with a sincere heart and a simple faith. We've been studying in our church services about faith to a degree and how it operates. And there's only two times in the New Testament that Jesus Christ used the term great faith to two different particular people in two different particular circumstances. And the first that I want to mention to you today before we have to close this broadcast is the centurion, who came to Jesus and said, I have a servant who is, he's like a son to me, and he's sick, and I, 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 I want you to heal him. He needs God's help, and I recognize who you are. I want you to heal him. And Jesus said, and here's the willingness. Here's the willingness I'm telling you about. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, feeling humbled that this Holy One would even come under his roof, he said, you know, I'm not really worthy that you would come under my roof. What reverence for the Lord he was showing. He said, but I am a man under authority. Centurion had 100 men at his command. Under Caesar's authority, he had authority to command 100 of the soldiers of Rome. And he said, I have men under my authority, and I tell them to go and they go. I tell them to come and they come. You don't have to come to my home to do this. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus immediately responded, I have not found faith like this, no, not in all of Israel. And he healed from the place he was standing. He authorized, amen, healing for that son-like servant that was sick. And God showed us something in the Word, that a simple faith from a sincere heart will bring a response from God. You don't have to be standing on a mountaintop beating your breast like King Kong and telling the world how much faith you've got and trying to show God how much faith you have. All you have to do is bow to your knees. Someone said, if your knees are trembling, fall on them. Cry out unto the Lord. He invites you to cry out unto him. He listens to the faintest cry of the sincere heart. Amen. And the other instance is a woman who wasn't part of the covenant people. And she came to Jesus and said, I've got a daughter that is home, vexed of a devil. Please come and heal her. Jesus said, in essence, you don't have a covenant to stand on here to request or demand this healing. Make a demand on the covenant for this healing. It is not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs, literally meaning those without the covenant, the ancient covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. This wonderful covenant with Abraham. He said, you're not qualified for that. She immediately fell to her knees and began to worship him and said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He turned to her and he said, woman, great is thy faith. Now, you know, I've heard a lot of messages, and by the way, he healed instantly her daughter. From where he stood, his power went to where she was, and she was set free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, since he is the one that said this was an expression of great faith in both instances, it should change our attitude toward what great faith really is. Great faith, as he defined it, is a sincere heart looking to God in humble dependency, believing that he has all power and all authority, trusting in his sovereign authority. Amen. Boldly trusting in his sovereign authority while humbly depending and crying out to him. Praise God. It is so good today to declare unto you that the faith you have in your heart right now, if you will just use it to cry out to God, God will listen to you. Wouldn't it be wonderful, amen, in especially feeling like that God will not hear you? If you cry out to him and he comes through for you and turns this test you're going through into a testimony, and you can stand up and say, he heard my cry. David began to love the Lord so much because of the willingness of God to help him, the way God came through for him, the way God responded to his cry. He literally said in the Psalms, and we used to sing this as one of our praise songs, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he heard my prayer, turning his ear always to me. Hallelujah. Amen. We sing that song with a bit of laughter. We say, turning his ear always to me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, God can turn your morning to dancing. God can give you the spirit of praise, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the oil of joy for mourning. See, there's a joy that comes when we just get in the presence of God. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. There's a joy that comes when we feel so overwhelmed by the person of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we feel that joy. Some people holler amen, some clap their hands, some pat their feet, some shout to the Lord, amen. But there's a joy of prayers answered. There's the joy of a breakthrough. There's the joy of a victory. Psalm 126 is about the returning of God's people out of captivity to reestablish the holy city and express their great freedom. And the Bible said, amen, that when God again turned the captivity of Zion, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues filled with song. And it said we were as those that dream. Hallelujah. Isn't it incredible when God moves in answer to prayer so mightily? Sometimes we have to pinch ourselves to see if it's real, because it's such a wonderful, wonderful experience. Peter was in prison, he was in stocks and between two soldiers. I guess Christians were a great threat because they had secured him, not only in a prison, in stocks, inside a locked room, but also put soldiers on either side of him. And they all fell asleep, and great prayer was being offered for Simon Peter. People were crying out for his deliverance and for God to help him. And the Bible said that an angel came into that prison, slapped him on the thigh, woke him up, and said, "Peter, come and follow me." And Peter, the stocks fell off, the chains that bound him fell off, the guards stayed asleep, the prison door popped open. They walked outside the prison, and when they were outside, Peter thought that he was dreaming. And yet the angel continued to lead him, and he realized, "This is not a dream. I am not dreaming this. This is actually happening to me." Sometimes when prayer is answered, we are as those that dream. And we have to pinch ourselves and say, "My God in heaven, you did this thing. You listened. You are. You exist. You care. You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you." So many promises in Scripture seems just too good to be true. No wonder we're like those who dream when God answers this way. I believe God wants to do big things in your life. And you know why I believe it? Because He gave His Son for you on the cross. A God that loves you that much, and a Christ that loves you enough to stay on that cross. Nails couldn't possibly hold Him there. 4-inch nails couldn't impale Him on a cross, because He had the power to take Himself from that cross and destroy this world. But He chose to stay on it because He loves you and He loves me to that degree and that much. A God that loves you this much will help you today. A God that loves you this much you can count on today to be your glory, your shield, the lifter of your head right now. We just heard about a week ago of a comedian that committed suicide, a very successful comedian, 49 years old, handsome, handsome man with a great talent to make people laugh, and yet out of depression took his own life. And you know what he needed? He needed this wonderful God, and we need this wonderful God. And if religion is a crutch, if the Christian faith is a crutch, then give me two of them. Because I need this God in my life. I need Him. Every morning when I get up, I need Him. Every night when I lay down. I'm going to admit I am no match for all the suffering and heartache and heartbreak that a fallen world can produce. And I need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I need the God of David. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, my helper, my friend. Jesus said, "I won't leave you alone. I'll send you another comforter, one called alongside to help." Today, if you are a sinner, why don't you open your heart right now and say, "Jesus, I need help. Can't change myself. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Change my life." Today, if you're a Christian and your faith seems so small, remember, He's just waiting for you to cry out. So pray again. Anticipate His help and sing His praise. We love you today. Our time is gone. Be sure and tune in next week at this same time right here on WMAF. Come back with us and spend some time with us. And let's talk about Jesus.